Hello everybody and welcome back to the penultimate module this afternoon. Before we start, we've had a lot of comments coming in on the comment line from you, and thanks for that, keep them coming. A few people are asking about different parts of Office 365 and how they get to SharePoint or how they access Link. And I think it's important to take the time here just to say Office 365 is the umbrella in which all these different services, Exchange, email, SharePoint, web apps, all of them sit together, and collectively they form the Office 365 ecosystem. And if you go to office365.com, you will get a link which takes you to how you can set up your Office 365 account. But it is this group of services that work together interactively, and that's where you can find the link to get to. Okay, over to you, Victor.
Talking about working interactively or in an integrated approach, our next session looks at how we can use Office 365 to build and nurture communities of practice, how we can use Office 365 to connect with to connect schools or a school with a community, and the last one, I love that one. Jay will take us through how a school can build an Office 365 site and putting in apps to work with it.
So we're going to build our own SharePoint site live online today.
Great.
That's a big ask, isn't it? We're going to do that.
But we're going to show you how
here
easy
in the studio.
It is.
Indeed, yes.
We can do it in 15 minutes.
We can.
Under 10 minutes, actually. All right. We have a, I don't know if Jay, if you have this in Scotland, but in Africa we have a saying that says it takes a village to educate a child. Do you have anything similar?
Wherever I work in the world, it's always noticeable that whenever there's a strong sense of community around a school, and wherever there are very strong homeschool links, that achievement always tends to get a boost because of that. And I think the research shows that as well, doesn't it? It's a powerful factor in education. The school at the center of the community.
Yeah, the fact that when kids learn at school and when they're able to take that learning in their homes and they get all the support, the results, they tend to achieve better.
Yes.
Learn better. Also, this is my personal experience, the fact that, when parents get to know what is going on in schools, and schools involve them in decision making and in what's going on in there, they seem to have a better attitude towards a school, like a more positive attitude. All the misunderstandings about the schools are removed. I can give you an example. While I was still a teacher, we used to have a problem at our school. Our school was in a village, it was sometimes, most of the times, very difficult to get the support of the parents, simply because most of the parents would be illiterate, and they thought, well, teachers have all the knowledge to teach our kids, we don't have to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And but then at the end of the year, we used to have issues when we released results, when kids get their end of the year reports.
Yeah.
Parents wouldn't accept when the kids fail. They say, no, my child was coming to school every day. How come he or she has failed? And it would build a lot of ructions, like attitudes between the school, bad attitude between the parent community and the school, because the parents wouldn't be involved in the school running and decisions and all of that during the year. They were only coming to the school at the end of the year, and if the results were not positive, they wouldn't accept it.
I guess if they're involved with the school life over the course of the whole year, and they are interacting with the school, then if their child is not doing well, then that should not come as a surprise.
Yeah.
They should know about this
because
long before
partners.
The end of the year.
You work with them with partners, and they're a helping hand. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is why it's so important to have this positive interaction between home and school, so that parents and caregivers can really be a part of their child's progress and help them.
And a child feels a sense of security at the school and at home. The results tend to be better.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important that we don't just focus on parents and caregivers here, because caregivers, yeah, because I mean, think about all the different caregivers that there are in families. You know, you've got grandparents, you've got siblings, you've got aunts and uncles, and you extend it out to the wider family. You've got cousins, and then you've got, you know, family by marriage or by relationship. And all of a sudden, you have this huge community of people surrounding maybe one child. And all of those people, or many of them, might be able to play a very valuable part in the education of that child.
Absolutely.
And I think anything we can do to encourage those sorts of interactions and build that sort of community is really worthwhile.
Absolutely.
After all, why are we in this job?
Do schools want to connect with parents? I think the answer is yes. All schools want to do that. What do they want to share with the parent community? Lots of things, right? Policies. They want to make parents aware of their kids' performances. They want to make the parents aware of any disciplinary issues, important events. You know?
Yeah, I mean, they need to share information about the finance of the school as well.
Yeah.
If they need money to buy things or to fund school trips, you know, the parents need to be aware of perhaps of the financial situation of the school.
The school wants to buy tablets.
Yeah. And parent-teacher associations and parent support groups are very, very good at raising funds to buy all of these things to help in education. And again, it's all about building these communities, isn't it? And making these interactions as positive as possible.
It's a big challenge connecting with parents, eh?
Ooh.
many issues, right? Time is a problem. You know,
yeah.
imagine, you know, we talked about this off air, organizing an event for parents.
Well,
what a nightmare it is, you know?
The date's never the right date, is it?
Yeah.
It's never the right date for everybody.
Difficult to get 100% participation.
Yeah.
It's because some parents, maybe you organize this in the evening. Some parents work in the evening. They're not available. During the day, they are available. So it's very difficult because
the caretaker hasn't got the key to the hall when he's needed or when she's needed.
You have to print material.
Oh, send them home in school bags.
Half
of them don't get there. We all know what happens to things that get sent home from school, don't we?
Yeah.
I know what happened to half of my school reports on the way between school and home. And Frank's laughing over there, so I imagine it's the same story for him too.
Yeah. Also, printing learners' performance.
Yes.
Reports. Problem too. If a learner has failed, parents are not likely to see the report, will they?
No, they certainly never saw any negative reports about me, that's for sure.
So there could be better ways to share this. How can Office 365 help? SharePoint, and this is what Jay is going to show us at the end of our session, how to set up a SharePoint site where we provide parents with passwords and give them access to the SharePoints.
SharePoint's a great part of Office. It's a great part of Office 365 because it's really good at helping you to build these communities that are otherwise so difficult to do, to get people together, to give them a space online where they can interact, where they can find information and all the things that they need to find to support their child's
learning.
And
they all get a single secure point of access.
They do.
It's one point. And it's secure. They all have different passwords. Maybe the challenge will be at the beginning, how to get each one their own passwords. But as soon as you sort out that, show them how it works, it's now easy. They access this on their mobile phones, smartphones, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there are two ways of doing it. First of all, you can give them an Office 365 account from your school Office 365 and then make them members of a SharePoint group, and that allows them to interact with that group and to leave comments and upload resources and other things. Or you can share the SharePoint group with them simply by sending them an email link, and they can see everything that's in the SharePoint group. So there are two ways of doing it, and again, you control the levels of access that you want to give the parents and the caregivers and the extended families to that SharePoint group. And that is so flexible and versatile for that.
Is it difficult to create a SharePoint site?
No, SharePoint's not difficult to create. Once you get into it and you've done a few basic things in there, you just can't resist exploring. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you are actually a very advanced user. Why don't we have a go?
Yes, no, before we do that.
Okay.
Here's something that might be of interest, and I didn't know this until a few days ago. The fact that Link and Skype can be joined together.
Yes, indeed, they can.
Do you know about that?
I do, and I can show you how to do it as well.
Really?
I can.
Oh, come on.
Okay, now you can keep talking.
Because most people know Skype.
And okay.
If you know a contact that is a link that is on Link, mm-hmm. you can join them and you can access them on your Skype account.
If you're the administrator of your Office 365 account, if we can go to my screen now, you simply go to your admin tab, you click on the Link button, and that takes you through to your Link control panel. You go to your organization, you click External Communications, and there you can see the second one down there, Public IM Connectivity. You simply tick the box. And for some reason, here we go. Tick the box, and you are instantly linked. So on my Office 365 there, Skype is now linked with Link. It's linked with an I, with Link with a Y.
Nice. Easy, isn't it? One tick box. That's all you need, eh?
That's all you need.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So it's not a difficult thing to do.
And most parents, most kids know Skype, right?
They do. Yeah. And this is a way of controlling the use of Skype, because normally you would, when you share your Skype details, you are connected to that person unless you disconnect from them. Whereas, you know, if you want to just have one-time communication or occasional communication, then being able to go through Link to someone's Skype it's good to be able to do that. It just gives you more ways of connecting, more flexibility. You know, sometimes people could have Skype, but they might not have Link.
Yeah.
So you've got lots of different options.
We call that federation.
Federation, yeah.
Sure. Okay, now let's do a demo. Show us how we can create a SharePoint site.
So
where do we start?
Well, we're going to create a SharePoint site that is a homeschool site, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you watch my screen, what I've done is I've clicked on Add New Site. Okay. So what should we call this SharePoint site, Victor? What's the name of our school?
Madiba School.
Madiba School?
Yeah.
Madiba High School?
That's right.
Parent site, parents and caregivers. Oh, SharePoint's telling me I can't include a slash there. Parents and caregivers site. So I've given my site a name, I click create, and it shouldn't take too long, it says. So this is where we sit back and we have a cup of coffee and we have a chat.
So maybe let's think of apps. Why should we create this site? Like, what kind of apps? Are we there now?
We're there now.
Okay, cool.
And as you can see on the screen, we've got our new Madiba High School parents and caregivers site, and my apologies for not putting caregivers with a capital C there, but there we go.
So this is the site where parents can go and find stuff about the school.
Yes.
Cool.
We can either make parents members of our Office 365, or we can share the link to the site with email, providing we're allowing external users to view certain parts of our Office 365, but we're controlling that, so we keep it safe and secure. Now, this is our basic SharePoint site, and there are lots and lots of things that we can do with this. And when you set up a SharePoint site, you get some ideas and prompts on that first page. So if you're not sure what you should be doing with SharePoint, there are some suggestions, and the blue tiles across the front of the page there suggests that you might want to change the style of it. Or you might want to brand it by putting a logo on there. So we could change the style. Let's see if we can do that. So I'm being asked to change the look. And you can see here, there's a few basic templates.
Give it templates. A nice look.
What would you
Give
like?
Give it a nice look. Something nice. Something nice. Like
how about a nice kind of spacey graphite look there?
All right.
Let's have a go. Okay, what do you think of that?
Yeah, great. Yeah? Let's do that. Yeah,
okay. Should we make the writing in pink?
Pink.
Pink.
Oh, yeah, because it's you. Okay, you can go.
Okay, well,
pink.
We'll go for green, eh? Let's go for green. Okay, well, but you can see there that you can change the look and personalize it a bit if you want. So click on the try it out button there. And you can see on the right-hand side, just under that picture of me there, it says working on it. And that means that SharePoint is busy changing the look of the site. Gives you a preview. If you don't like it, click on no, go away. If you do like it, you can keep it. Do you like that?
Ah, brilliant.
Should we go with that?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So that's click good. On the yes, keep it. And job done. Our new SharePoint site with our new design. So straight away, you've done something really simple that's worked, that's given you confidence to go in and do some more stuff. Okay? So if we had a school logo, we would click the Your Site, Your Brand there. Okay? Share your site, of course. We want to share our site. We can either use the share tile there.
Shouldn't we put apps first?
We can do. Yeah. I'm just going to do this first because it's there.
Okay.
There are many ways to share your site. It's, right. What it's doing is reminding you, of course, that you need to share it with people so that they know it's there. Okay? Add apps. Libraries and other lists, we could do that. Now, if we don't like those suggestions, if we just want to go and play about with it, we can
create our own.
Yeah, we can get rid of them. So let's remove those. Very simple, just follow the link, follow the text, click on it, select, and it's done. Okay? So we're on our home page here, our home site. Okay. So let's have a look. What do we want to do? Let's click on site contents. Okay. This tells us what we've already got in our site. That's set up straight away for us as a matter of course. Okay, so we can put documents in there, we can add pages, okay? But we want to add some more features. Now,
yeah, sure.
So there are things called apps, which are the name we give to features that we want to bring into sites. And we're all familiar with apps because we've got them on our phones and our tablets. So let's have a look and see what type of app SharePoint's got. So, okay, let's have a look and see what we can have here, okay? It's giving us some suggestions, and as you'll see, these are very easy to install. We could put Yammer in if we wanted to.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll maybe come back to that, because we haven't decided whether we want parents to be able to Yammer into the school, because
you can
just imagine what would happen.
The
principal would be swamped with Yammer messages, so we'd need to control that quite carefully.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what would be a good idea. What would be a great idea? How about a calendar?
A calendar is important.
A calendar.
Yeah.
And look, there's my calendar.
So we
app.
Can notify parents of important events.
Sure.
Yeah.
So this is what you do. You click on the tile. It asks you to give a name. Okay, let's give a name to our calendar. So let's call it school calendar. Let's be original, eh?
School calendar 2004.
2004. Is there a time machine?
Sorry, 2014.
2014?
Yes.
I've named my calendar. I've selected the app. What do I do next? Here we go. If you can see the screen there, you'll see that button that says create.
Create.
That is all we do. And we've now got a calendar on our site. And you can see here, it's appeared in our list of things we've got on our site contents. So there's our site contents there, and there's our calendar. And when I go back to the site homepage, that calendar will appear in the list down the left-hand side, so it's easy to navigate to. And if we open that calendar app, which we'll do shortly, then we can start to fill in the dates, significant dates across the year. Things like exam timetables, end of topic tests, half year exams, assessments, parents' evenings,
policies,
sports days,
school policies,
in the calendar?
Not in the calendar, no.
I suppose we could put policy review and things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, whatever you want to put in there that we think parents should know, we put it into our school calendar. Okay. Should we add some more apps? This is getting quite fun, isn't it?
Yeah, let's add a few more apps.
Okay, so let's go back and click on add an app. Okay. How about pictures of the principal and senior leadership team and department heads? Do you think parents would want to be able to see pictures of the school leadership team?
Yeah, school leadership team, yeah.
Okay, well, there's an app there that would do that. Picture library. Okay. Again, very simple. Pick a name. School leadership mugshots. School leadership team. Okay, so that app, we can upload pictures to that, so we can have some nice pictures of all our school leaders. Again, we click the create button, and SharePoint has, as you can see there, put that app in which says school leadership team, and that's where you'll see the pictures of the principal and all his supporting heads. Any more?
Policies.
So we'd want.
We'd
want a document library, wouldn't we? Specifically for school policies.
That's right.
Document library. Okay. So we can give. You know, we can have lots of document libraries for different things. This is for school policy. Okay. So. Oh, see, I'm getting punchy. It's getting late in the day. Policies. Yeah. Keep me right here. School policies,
yeah.
Click create. And again, it really is that simple. Okay, we've got these apps. So what do we do next? Okay, well, let's go back to our homepage and let's see what our site looks like here. If you look across the top there, you'll see home. You just hit that. And that will take us back to our homepage. She says. There we go. Okay, so we're now back on our homepage. And if we want to see what we've got on our site, hang on, my screen has stopped responding here.
There we go.
We click the tab at the top there which says recent. It gives you a list of the things that have been added recently. If we click on site contents, we get taken to this list here, which shows all our apps in pictorial form. Okay. So, let's look at how these apps work, shall we? The picture one. So say we want to upload a picture. We open the app and we get instructions on our screen that tell us exactly what to do. So we can add a new picture by clicking on the add a new picture button and then go and search for a file. And I don't think we'll have any files on this computer, but if we did, let's see what pictures we've got on here. Let's just put a picture in, shall we? We don't have a picture.
No, don't think so.
Because we're using computers in the studio here, we don't have any pictures, so we can't do that. But if we had a picture in there, it would be a simple matter just to upload that picture, okay? If we want to, if we're on one of our machines and we've got pictures in there, we can just drag and drop. So we could drag a picture in and drop it there and it would upload straight away.
And you same with all other documents.
Yeah, just drag and drop. Yeah. Drag and drop or browse from your machine. It's really, really very, very simple. SharePoint makes it easy by giving you these instructions. You know something, if you make a mistake, just start again. How long has it taken to do that? A couple of minutes?
Yeah.
So if you make a mistake, just cancel out and start again. This is how you get good with working with Office 365 and its components like SharePoint. You get in there and you play about. What I've done here is created a SharePoint site. I've put some apps in there, and I'm showing you how easy it is to bring content and material into the app. Let's have a look and see what else we can do. How about we wanted to put some dates in the school calendar?
Yes.
We very simply, we just open the app there, And you can see straight in front of you, you've got a calendar here. It's month by month, so we can go to different months. See, we're in May now. We've got on the left-hand side, we've got a high-level view, so we can just go to whatever month it is we want the calendar on.
Do you think, Jay, would it be possible to have this calendar sync up with my device, like give me alerts? When did I knew?
Yeah, let's add an event, shall we?
Yeah.
Here we go. So we're going to add an event for this day here. So I've clicked on that day, and it is the. What date have I chosen here? I'm not sure. Let me start again. Where am I? I'm on the 29th. Oh, I'm in January. That was confusing me there. I don't want to be in the past. I want to look ahead. So I'm going to go to August, and I'm going to add something on the 3rd of August. So what kind of things happen in August? Let's see. Let's make something up. So we're about to add an event. SharePoint's working. We've got our window here, which helps us to do everything we want. So should we have a parents' evening? It's our parents' evening. What grade parents' evening will it be? Yeah, it's August. Let's say the matric, so let's go grade 12, eh? Location. School. Hall. What time are we going to start our parents' evening? Let's give the teachers a break after school, get a chance for a wee bit to eat and a cup of coffee.
6 p.m.
Okay, yeah. What time are we going to finish?
8.
8? Mm. You can do it in 2 hours? Hey. Okay, and we put a bit of information. And information evening. All about the matric exam timetable. Because we're in South Africa here, we're talking about matric, but obviously it would be any whatever exam system or assessment profile you're working on. Okay, we've got category, so we can choose what type of category is this. Well, okay, it's a meeting. Or you could put your own description in there if you wanted. It's not an all-day event, so we're not going to tick that. And it is a recurring event in that it's going to happen every year, but we're not quite sure of the date, so we won't tick that. Okay. So what do we do next? Do we want to attach a file? Okay. Because if we want to, we could attach an exam.
An agenda.
Yeah, an agenda or an exam timetable, very simply, just by clicking the attach a file. And as you can see on the screen now, we've got we can add a description for that, and we can find our file on our computer and bring it in and attach it to our calendar, so that anybody who clicks on that calendar event will automatically have the attachment that goes with it, the agenda, the timetable of the exams, whatever else we want to do.
Now, I have a question here. Somebody's asking, can the same portal handle different roles? So I understand this is parents, right?
Yeah.
Can it work for teachers? Can teachers use it? Can students use it?
You mean this SharePoint group?
Yeah.
Well, this SharePoint group can be used by whoever we allow to use it. And the way we do that is by sharing it. But before we do that, you can just see my event there. It's actually in the timetable. And if I click on the event, it should open out with a bit more information. There are, you can see all the information. Yeah. And if there were any attachments, that's where you'd find them. So, I mean, okay, it might look a bit daunting at first, but it wasn't difficult to go in there and just follow the instructions to add a calendar app to the SharePoint site, to add an event to the calendar. And just think, how are you going to feel if you do that successfully? It's going to give you confidence to do more.
So Jay, here's a question. Let's suppose we create an app where we share learners' reports.
Yeah.
Is there a chance, or is it possible to make the report to be view only. So no one can fiddle with it.
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, you set the permissions of people who are becoming members of your group.
Oh, okay.
You control what levels of access you want to give to people who you share this group with, okay? And that's entirely up to you.
Ah.
If you give them access by email, then they just it's effectively view only, because you can't have external people coming in and be able to make comments and do things in your site. If you make people members of your Office 365 site, we call it a tenancy. Okay, it's your part. It's your Office 365 space in the cloud. If you make somebody a member of that, then they could go in and interact with whatever's in the site. But it's all down to what permissions you give them. So you can control it very, very tightly.
Great. What if?
So we've set our calendar up there, and we've made an entry to our calendar. And it would be just the same if we want to go and add a document to our policy app. Okay, there's our school policies. We simply click on the app, open it up, and you can see there, we can either search for a file, create a file, in the same way that we would do anywhere else. Yeah. Create a folder, find a file to upload, or drag and drop, and it's there. So that's how to do SharePoint. That's how we create SharePoint sites. And people think SharePoint is complicated because they've got this impression that it's a business tool, and they might have heard things about how it's very complicated with all the different levels of permissions and things that you need to do. But actually what you've got to do is go in there and try and just do something in there. And once you do something successfully, it gives you the confidence to play about and explore. And as you do explore, you will find that there is actually so much more that you can do in SharePoint. It really is it's a journey. Okay.
I wonder if there are any questions.
Let's have a look and see, shall we?
Let's have a look and see, yeah, sure.
Okay. Somebody's commenting here. It's a great way to build calendars for sport and cultural events. Put in school holidays. Make sure you don't schedule the school play at the same time as an important rugby match or when the Proteas are playing England or something like that.
Or Scotland
even. Well, I wouldn't give much of a chance to Scotland's cricket team at the moment. But I live in Cape Town, so I'm proudly Proteas. Okay. What else have we got on here? Somebody's saying pretty cool stuff. It's so easy to build a powerful site. What questions have we got? Send us your questions. Ask us anything you want to know. Make a comment. How easy did you think that was? Could you do SharePoint? Do you think you could set one up? Okay. What else have we got in this module then?
Great. I think we're done. That was the last section of the module.
Okay.
The demo.
I think what we've demonstrated there is that if we want to encourage building communities, we have to recognize that doing it physically is not going to work for everybody all the time.
Yeah.
People lead increasingly busy
lives.
Although
it's still important to meet people physically and talk to them.
It
and,
is, yes.
Like, it is.
But people leaving.
Cannot replace that, but I mean.
They lead
there are many other ways to reach people.
Sure. Yeah. They lead increasingly busy lives, and managing to get everybody together in the same place at the same time is, a scheduling headache for because everybody's got some reason why they can't be there.
Mm.
But we have to encourage good relationships, and we have to encourage these links. And SharePoint is a great way of bringing the community into the school. And I kind of got to thinking, and I know somebody else is saying here, what other communities could we build in SharePoint? And I'm thinking about this. How about if we built a site where local business could come and answer questions about careers and maybe offer opportunities to maybe the grade 12s or grade 11s to get some work experience and help them with the decisions that they're trying to make about what they're going to do when they leave school. that to me would be good. What about the way staff could use it for professional development? Do you think there's a role for SharePoint there?
I think so.
Building a community of staff, all grouped around one particular interest.
Yeah, maybe they create a calendar where they share events. Let's say I know of an event that's happening sometime soon. I can populate the calendar and make staff more aware of this. So all staff are contributing to these calendars, and you know, maybe conferences. They're all contributing into that calendar. To keep everyone up to speed.
A couple of comments here. Faith has come in again. Hi, Faith. Good that you're sticking with us today. She says, the ability to build a site on SharePoint is brilliant. I couldn't have put it better myself. Mm. Mm. And somebody else here, with the roles, can the viewer, i.e. the student, have a personalized view of a portal, like seeing hockey practice sessions on a calendar? I'm not sure I get that. I think whoever designs the SharePoint site is the one that designs the look of it, certainly. And hockey practice sessions on a calendar, obviously, a student is going to have a calendar, and that student can put the events that concern them on the calendar. I don't know if that answers your question. That's from Gabriel Wilmerens. But please come back at us if it doesn't. We've got somebody watching from Tunisia who is really enjoying what we're doing, likes what we're doing with SharePoint. The SharePoint seems to have stimulated an awful lot of discussion here.
I think simply because, you know, I used to think it's difficult myself until I tried out on the site that we've created, the Tablet Academy site.
Yeah.
Until I tried setting up my own sites. I discovered how easy it is.
Yeah. Do you know, it's what they call intuitive, isn't it? Mm. It really is follow the instructions that appear on the screen. But people, I suppose it's taking that first step. Because until you actually take that first step and you click that add site, you probably do have the impression that you might not understand it. And there's a great guide in the Office 365 for Education guides that we've written. If we could flick to my screen for a moment, you will see that coming very soon as we roll this out over Africa, there are two guides in here, again in TeacherSpeak, based on SharePoint, jargon free. We bust the jargon to make it easy for you. Jargon
yes.
Buster. Dum, 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 dum.
There
are two guides. One is setting up SharePoint. Okay, so you can see the first one, it takes you step by step how you set up SharePoint. And then it gives you a couple of user scenarios. So how to set up a public website. And that's an interesting feature of SharePoint, you know, because every tenancy, every Office 365 account gives you one website. So your school sets up Office 365 and it's able to have its own website, which is outward facing.
But hang on, what if my school doesn't have a website to start with?
Then SharePoint is a great...
We don't have a domain name.
If you don't have a domain name to set up your Office 365 with, there are some useful suggestions in the provisioning guide, which, again, I've got on the screen here, which tells you how to deal with that. If you don't own your own domain,
yes.
Like medibaschool.com or whatever it is, the provisioning guides give you some solutions to that. You could still have Office 365, providing you're validated as an education institution. It's free, okay? And normally that validation is done by you submitting your domain name. If you don't have one, there are a couple of ideas for how you could get one, and a couple of hosting companies will help you to set up your own domain so that you can work with Office 365 with your own domain name. But it's not strictly necessary. As long as you can show that you're an academic institution, you're a school, you get the A2 Office 365 plan.
So this is up to 30 days of free trial.
30 days free trial, and then you can convert to a free account.
Oh.
But if we go back to my screen again,
great.
You can see there, there are two scenarios, setting up a public website and creating a sub-site. A sub-site is just another SharePoint site that branches off an existing one. Okay, so rather than it being a brand new site, it branches off one that's already there. And you'll learn a bit more about subsites if you go through that user scenario. But the second SharePoint guide is all about using SharePoint in education. And it gives four user scenarios there of things that educators have done with SharePoint in education. So using the survey app. Okay, there's a great app in SharePoint that allows you to run a survey. It's a bit like the Excel survey app that you can access through OneDrive. So surveys are great, you know, for getting information in and getting data in that you can then use in your class. Setting up a team site, you might want a
not only the class. Why not get parents to
It's a great way of getting feedback.
About your school, how they would like the school to operate and stuff like that, and then they have opinions.
It's a good way of getting parent feedback and caregiver feedback, certainly. A team site, you might want, your art department might want to have their own SharePoint site that all their resources for their department are in. So you can, again, any team that you could think of could have a SharePoint site. You might want a student site in your school, you know, with a discussion forum in there that students could then come along and interact. And your discussion forum awards achievement badges for the level of contribution that different students make. So to encourage students to go in and on the discussion forum, the SharePoint type of SharePoint site that you set up for a student site will award badges at levels that you define in order to encourage people to contribute and come together. It's a pretty nifty little fix in SharePoint, that is. And class projects and assignment submission. SharePoint is great. Why not have a class site with an app in there for submitting assignments, with a tracking app that shows the particular dates across the year when projects and assignments have got to be submitted. Everything's in that app there. Some great ideas. Everything's in the guide, sorry. Some great ideas.
So hang on, Jay. What happens when you click on download full guide? Will you download the entire guide or that section?
That section.
That section.
Okay. So there are high-level guides. Provisioning, connecting, collaborating, Office web apps, Link and Instant Messenger. There are two SharePoint ones. One's about setting up, one's about using. And then we've done a great little thing there, 50 ways to use Office 365 in education, which is 50 short, sharp, punchy little ideas, one-page ideas of things that you could do to use Office 365 in your school or your institution. But we'll come back to this guide perhaps in the next module.
Great.
I think we're just about done. Let's check and see whether we've got any more questions or comments coming in. Yeah, we have. I think Office 365 creates a line of demarcation between the traditional mode of learning in schools and modern techniques. Nowadays in schools, we're using tablets, laptops, mobiles as the means to teach and learn effectively. And as a whole, this sense of collaborative learning will result in world-class education. Yeah, and Office 365 is making this demarcation. It is the line in the sand, if you like. There's no going back.
Yeah.
It's quite a profound statement there.
That's great.
Gabriel's come back here and said, but won't it be more heavy maintaining multiple sites?
That's the other thing, I think, you know.
But that's only if one person has to maintain them, of course.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you need to devolve the responsibility for looking after these sites here and share them out with colleagues and even students who want to take responsibility for this. It doesn't have to fall on the shoulders of one person.
And I think, once again, it shouldn't be the matter of quantity. It's like the quality.
It's quality,
sure. It's not the aim that you should have many sub-sites in a school, but like, Are they necessary?
Yeah. If you can show how it will benefit or enhance what happens, the work in your school or institution, then it's probably worthwhile doing it. And if it is a means of reaching out to more people and forming more communities, then I would say it's definitely worth it, providing you devolve the responsibility for it onto someone who's willing to take that responsibility on.
Mm.
We did have something on there from Peter asking, do we have links to the guides? We have the provisioning guide. We'll put a link out for that. The rest of the guides are going to be rolled out over Africa, Middle East, over the coming weeks. We're not sure yet of the time scale, but if you keep a lookout on the Partners in Learning, the PIL site.
They will find the provisional
guide. They'll find and a timetable for when the rest of them will be rolled out, hopefully.
Oh, is there? Okay.
Hopefully we'll be able to that, yes. Yeah, so sure. Thanks for that comment, Peter. Okay, I think we're just about done. Anything else you want to add, Victor?
Well, exciting last module that's coming up. I want to share some personal experiences. I love the Partners in Learning Network. I think that's where everything revolves in terms of teacher professional development.
Sure.
That's the place you need to go in order to meet up with other teachers, the place to go in order to learn from them, download free Microsoft software. Most people don't know Microsoft has free software, right? That's our open source.
Microsoft has some great free software that's available to students that they can download. If you go to dreamspark.com. Yeah. There is some fantastic software that can save thousands of dollars that's available free to bona fide students if they go to that site.
Absolutely.
You know, for people who want to get involved in computing and programming, then that's a great place to go to get stuff. Equally, the bizspark.com is where you would go if you're thinking of starting a business and you want some help and advice, and Microsoft have got some great resources there. Maybe we'll come back to those in the next module.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And there's a few questions coming in here, which we'll perhaps touch on at the start of the next module too, because they're appropriate to that.
Great.
So, Blender, I will be coming back to you on that.
Great.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Victor.
Good.
Enjoyed that session tremendously.
Great.
We'll see you in 10-15 minutes.
Great.